Shalom Aleichem, Bruchem Abayim. I'm speaking once again from an undisclosed location here in Yerushalayim, Yer HaKadosh. And we're going to now begin with Klal Tes. Klal Tes begins on Daf Kuf Mem, on line 260. The Klal Tes, and I don't know if I should say in contradistinction to the other Klalim, is extremely dense. And so before we even get to the abstract ideas and themes that the Gaon is referring to, it's going to take a lot of hard work just to read and figure out the pshat of what the Gaon is doing, especially since the Gaon is going to be introducing a lot of new and different terms. So what we're going to do is just try to read through Klal Tes, beginning on line 260, which is where it begins, and try to understand the terminology of the Gaon. Now, the Gaon says, V'hagimel rishonis da'atik, the three first paltufim of Atik, hein soy, this is what is referred to in the Zohar, this is the secret, or this is the concept of what's called Tlas Reshin, three heads, which means Gulgolta. Gulgolta is refers to the skull. Avira, I guess, refers to the cranial fluid or cavity between the skull and the brain. Umecha Stimor, that refers to the closed brain itself. V'hein soy gimel pa'amu or, and this is refers to, or this is equivalent to, three times or. It says three times yihi or, vayihi or, right, and yihi or. Vayar Hashem es ha'or kitoiv. Shehein yihi or, vayihi or, vayar Elokim es ha'or kitoiv. I know this is all Chinese, but Mit Hashem, we're going to make this a little bit user-friendly in a little while. Shehem Gematria, and if we take the three ors and we make the Gematria, so that is a Gematria of Kesel, right? Because or is a Gematria of 207. 207 times 3 is 621. This refers to the Gematria of Kesem, which is 620. Now, even though in Kabbalah, usually, a difference of one is insignificant, because we say that the three auras add up to Keser, and there's one that refers to the entirety of the thing itself, which adds one to Keser, so that's 620, which is 621. And Keser is Kol HaTlas Reshin, because the three heads are included in what's called the included in the general thing, which is called the Kesem. Okay? Now, so up till now, we've spoken Chinese. Now we'll explain a little bit what we mean. Probably one of the important revelations of the Arizal, we've spoken about things that the Arizal revealed, which he originated, which he was Bechadish in Kabbalah, different concepts. We spoke about Tzimtzum. Tzimtzum is something which does not appear explicitly in the Zohar, but rather it's a Chiddush of the Ari. In addition, one of the important Chiddushim of the Ari is a concept of what's called a Paltzuf. A Paltzuf literally means a face. Now, even though there are terms in the Zohar which the Ari understands to be Paltzufim, the connection, or the understanding of what these things were, was something which was hidden, or something which was never revealed until the time of the Arizal. So even though the Zohar uses lashonis like Atik, Gulgolta, Avira, Mechastimah, these terms were not understood until the time of the Arizal, until he identified them as being Partzufim. The Mekubalim, before the Arizal, their spiritual space was spanned by what's called spheres. You're all familiar with spheres. The first sphere is Keser, then comes Chochma. Keser is the crown. Usually referred to Ayin is nothing. Chochma is wisdom. Bina, right? And then Das, and then Cheskevot, Tiferes, Netzach Hod Yesoid, and then Malchus. In other words, the Sfiras are, in a certain sense, points. They refer to specific midas. So Sfira is an abstract point, which you call a Nekuda. And in fact, actually, the Goyin said previously in Klal Ches that in fact, in the Olam HaShvira, in the Shvira, we have what's called Nekudais. And the Nekud itself is not defined. But there are 10 Nekudas which correspond to the 10 Sfiras. So in other words, a Sfira is something which is like equivalent to a Nekuda, a point. It's not defined. And we give it a name, and we can say that there are 10 Sfiras. But the Nekud itself is impenetrable. It's not defined. Just like the geometrical concept is impenetrable. This is the important analogy that the Goyim made in Klal Ches, which we elaborated on to a tremendous extent, Baruch Hashem, in the previous year. What the Arizal did was, he took the concept of a Sfira, which is a Nekuda, and created a multi-dimensional Paltzuf. In other words, from Nekuda to Paltzuf, not only do we get many dimensions, because the Paltzuf contains all different types of components, but in addition to that, the Paltzuf is called a Paltzuf because it has what's called human dimensions, a human face. So what the Arizal did was, he took the zero-dimensional concept of Sfira, and constructed from the Sfira Paltzufe, which has several important consequences for the history of Kabbalah. Consequence number one is the Kabbalah becomes intricately more complex. Because when you go from a point, zero-dimensional particle to an entire geometrical structure, be it one, two, and three dimensions, naturally you're adding a tremendous amount of complexity. But in addition to that, when you assign the geometrical structure a certain human face, so what you're doing is you're giving the spiritual world a human dimension, a personal dimension. In fact, the Deus persona, the personal God with whom we relate to, is expressed metaphysically through the concept of a Paltzuf. So what the Arizal did, in a certain sense, would actually be almost parallel to the emergence of Kabbalah from rationalism, namely from the God of creation to the personal God. Right? The God of creation is very evident in the Rishonim, and the personal God is a little bit less evident. We'll maybe speak about that another time. We'll actually speak about that maybe in the Merah Nevuchim Shir, if we get to it. However, this transition from the God of creation to the personal God, right, is in fact conceptually understood in metaphysical terms from the translation from a point Sfira to a Paltzuf. So therefore, in a certain sense, the metaphysical language that can be used to express our personal relationship with God, the God of ethics, the God of providence, is expressed metaphysically through the Lashon of Paltzuf. Now, this is the easy part. Let's proceed to the next point. How are the Patsufim arranged? In other words, how are the Patsufim organized? Well, the Sfira of Kessel becomes the Patsuf of really, let's call it Atik. Actually, it's actually, in strictly speaking, Kabbalah, the upper part of Kessel becomes the Patsuf of Atik. The lower part of Kessel becomes the Patsuf of Arich. But for all intents and purposes, let's call it Atik. In other words, the Paltzuf of Kesser, from the zero-dimensional sphere of Kesser, comes the Paltzuf of Atik. From Chochma comes the Paltzuf of what's going to be called Abba. From Bina comes the Paltzuf of Ima. The Gra will discuss Abba ve'Ima in Klal Yud. Now, from the six lower Spheres, meaning Cheskevur, Teferet, Netzach, Hod, Yesoid, from this is created the Paltzuf of what's called Zer Anpin. And finally, from the sphere of Malchus will come the parts of Nukva. Now, like I said before, this is a very vast oversimplification of things. Strictly speaking, Atik, of course, means the first, as the Goyim spoke out explicitly in Klal Aleph. So Atik means the first Pautzuf, right? It also referred to the Tzimtzum too, but right now we understand it in terms of what it's called the very first Pautzuf. Ab and Eva obviously mean what they mean. Zer Anpin, right, means the short face. In other words, there's two Pautzuf from this Arich Anpin, which is the long face. That's the face that HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgives the sins of Klal Yisrael and his Michael forgives them. And then Zer Anpin is when HaKadosh Baruch Hu deals out punishment. That's the Midas HaMishpat. So that's the short face, right? Like in the Chumash, Arich Apayim, Erech Apayim, means HaKadosh Baruch Hu is able to suffer or accept the sins of the Jewish people without punishing them. He tolerates us. That's called Erech Anpin. And of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets mad, so therefore it's exactly the opposite. That's called Zer Anpin. Okay? Nukve Malchus we'll speak about another time. Now, says the Ari the following thing. Once again, a Pautzuf has human dimensions. Atik, which is the highest Pautzuf, represents obviously the head. So therefore, when we speak about the Pautzuf of Atik, we're going to speak about the parts of the human head, meaning the human skull. Now, says the Ari, says the Goyim, right, that in fact Atik is composed of actually three parts. He calls this Tlaseration, three heads. In other words, there is three heads within one head. Okay? This is the Gulgolta. Now the Gulgolta actually literally means the skull, right? And that's a Pautzuf in and of itself. And then there's Avira. Avira represents, I guess, the cranial air or cavity between the skull and the brain. And then there's Moichas Dimah, the actual brain itself. Now, it turns out, Gulgolta is going to refer actually to Kesa, the Kesa of Atik. Avira and Moichas Dimah. So Moichas Dimah is going to be the Chokhmah of Atik. And Avira is going to be the Bina of Atik. In other words, every Pautzuf contains spheres within it. So spheres are parts of the Pautzuf, but they're also are human. There's a human anthropomorphic image here, right? Which in fact refers to the specific spheres contained within the entire Pautzuf. Okay, now, so these are the three parts of the head, which are the higher Pautzufim. In other words, the Keser, Chokhmah, and Bina of the Pautzuf of Keser. There's a Klolistic, a general Keser, and a specific Keser. And these are part of the Pautzufim of the Pautzuf of Atik. So, once again, let's go back again. Hagimel Rishonis Atik, the first three spheres of Atik. Because, of course, Atik, as a Pautzuf, has spheres from Keser to Malchus. There's Keser Atik, Chokhmah Atik, Bina Atik, all the way until Malchus Atik. But the three first spheres of Atik are called Tlatz Reish, the three heads. And they are Gulgolta, Avira, Umeichas Dimah, the skull, the cranial cavity, the cranial air, fluid, and Umeichas Dimah, the brain, which eventually we'll see referred to Kesa, Chokhmah, and Bina of Atik. Vehein Soy Gimel Pa'amim Or. These three Reish, three heads, three parts of the upper part of Atik, Gulgolta, Avir, Mechis, Timor, correspond to the three times that Or is used at the beginning of creation. Says the Goy, Shehein, Yehi, Or. Or Shmokul says, let there be light. Vayehi, Or. And there was light. Vayar, Elohim, Es, Or, Kitoy. That's the third line. So the first three lines, which represent the very onset of creation, the very onset of Tikkun, the head of the spiritual and physical cosmos, these three ors refer to, in fact, the three reishin of Atik, Ugolta, Avira, Umechis Dimor. Now, gematrias are important. Why are gematrias important? Because in the going, gematrias are a way of reinforcing the conceptual connection between two terms. When two terms have the same gematria, it reinforces the conceptual connection. Says the Goyin, right? The three times or, every or is 207. Three times 207 is 621. We add one because in the gematria, sometimes we take an extra number, one, to be the entirety in and of itself. And the gematria keser. Very good. Why is keser? Hakolul hatlas reishim. Because atik is keser. Keser includes the three reishim, the three heads, gulgolta, vilma, histema. So basically what the Goyin has told them was that this connection between the three ors in the Torah and the three reishim of atik is in fact buttressed or expressed by the gematria. Now, why are these three things, Gulgolta, Virch, Machis, Tamar, called Reishin? Why are they called heads? Because after all, L'chayra, Atik is one head. Why should it be called three heads within a head? Shehein HaSharashim Shekol HaGluim. Because these three heads represent the roots, the foundation of all of creation. V'halatzer HaGonis Bahem, Ashiyim Tzolonu, and they include the Ratzon, the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is hidden within them, which will be made, which will be revealed to man, right, throughout history. Says the Goyim, they are hidden, and not only can they be capable of being revealed, not only Efshel is Galoy, capable of being revealed, but in fact, for sure they'll be revealed in the future to the tzaddikim. Because the tzaddikim, as we've seen in the Goyin, do the ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when doing the ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that determines, as we spoke about the theory of the circular Moibus strip, that determines the ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the ratzon with which HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the Bria. And therefore, this ratzon is included in the initial creation of the Bria, which is expressed, or which corresponds to the metaphysical scheme of the Paltzuf of Atik, which contains the three Reishin of Gulgolta, Avira, and Mechus Dimah. Vehein Reishis HaMetzius. This is the very beginning of all of reality. Okay. Let's go further. I think it's very important, perhaps maybe just as a side point to understand, is that the Goyin has introduced the notion of Paltzuf, which is important. Why? For two reasons. First of all, ultimately, when we speak about Ratzon, right, we're speaking about a human concept. So therefore, naturally, the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which as we've seen in previous Shiurim, is constructed by man doing the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by the mitzvah that man does, has obviously a human dimension to it, whose metaphysical equivalent will be that of the Paltzuf. So the connection of Ratzon to Paltzuf is an intimate connection, mainly because the human side of things, the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as determined and constructed by man doing the Ratzon, which belatedly is the Ratzon with which HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, and through man's Libra Torah, we've explained, man constructs the exact Ratzon, which represents the blueprint with which man is Mekayim the Devar Hashem. So naturally, once we've laid the foundation, as I did in the last year of Klal Ches, that the Ratzon of the world and the metaphysical structure of the world is really due to man, to man's Libra HaTorah, to man's exploration of the universe. So therefore, what we've done is we've given creation a human face. And now's the time to introduce the concept of Paltzuf. The Goyin's point is that Paltzuf enters once we deeply understand how man belatedly, in a human process, creates the Ratzon with which the world is to be created. And that's a tick. Now, says the Goyin at line 266. Oh, that's number one. Number two, which I think is also important too, is that We are now going to forge a very important union between ontology and ethics. Remember, we spoke about the Moibus strip, the continuity, the created, the construction of Rotzoi, in which man, through Limud HaTorah, constructs the ethics, which represents the Rotzon of Hashem. So the fact is that the important parallelism between man's understanding of the world, both between the natural, understanding of the natural world, understanding of the Torah, which also represents a type of creation, and that forges the concepts of intelligent ethics, which we spoke about. So the fact is that now that we speak about ethics, we have to speak about an ethical relationship between man and God. Ethics cannot exist unless man has a relationship with God. The ultimate ethics, which defines interpersonal relationships, is grounded in man's ethical relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. In fact, the concept of mitzvahs is that man has an ethical relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu and does his rotzoi. So because of this, doing the rotzoi and having an ethical relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, which we'll discuss in B'yat Hashem in later Shi'ulim, right, requires a metaphysical explanation, which involves the language of Paltzufim, which creates the human dimension of the metaphysical worlds. So these are the two reasons why the Goy now enters into the language of Paltzufim. Now, let's go to line 266. V'yor harisha nikra reisha delo isyada. There's a, it says dalad lamed aleph. That means reisha, the head, delo ityada, which is not known. Now, even though the goyim here uses the loshen or harishan, the first light, in fact, we're not speaking about the three lights above. Yehi or, vayi or, ve'elakim es okitoiv, that's gulgolta avira umechis dimar. But there's an or above that. That's called the or, that when the goyim says an or harish, it doesn't mean the first of the three oiles, which he spoke about above. There's an or above that. And that's called reisha delo yisyada. Now, the Goyim says, for Or Harishon, the first light is called Reish Lo Yisyada, which means the head which is not known. In other words, the Gimel Reishon we spoke about above, Gulgolta, Avirah, Mechis, Tumah, are heads which are known. They're revealed. Reish Lo Yisyada literally means the head which is not known. So, is that one of these three heads? Because these three heads, Gulgolta, Avirah, Mechis, Tumah, are known. Reishit l'Yisyada is a head which is not known. Says the Goy, that's the first light. But that light is Godus. Ki Godus. Why is it not known? It's Godus. That's Godus. That's hidden away. Umachma shenignas. Since it's hidden away, ve'enu nigla lanu. And it's not revealed to us. Is that even a part of Atik? V'u be'arkenu be'b'chinas einzoi. We understand this, we conceptualize this as being infinite. In other words, the three reishin, Gulgolta, Avira, Mechis, Tamar, are in some conceptual sense finite. What we call infinite, Ein Sof, that's reishin l'Yisyada. That's a or that's hidden away, that's gonus. And we call it Ein Sof mitzad ha-geniza, because it's been hidden away. That's the or, the infinite light's been hidden away. L'chein amru, for this reason, it is said, she'ein tsoif gonus boy, that the infinite light is hidden. Kevan, she'gamhu eino niglalano, rak mesibas ha-metzius. In other words, why is the light, the hidden light, hidden away? Why is it gonus? Because this hidden light is not revealed to us, right? Eino niglalano, rak besibas ha-metzius. In other words, we can only infer it. Besibas ha-metzius means we can infer this infinite light. But in fact, it itself is hidden from us. In other words, what the Goyim is saying is, just like there's a paltzuf called reish lo yisyada, which is hidden from us, so too there's a light, an infinite light, which is hidden from us. And we, since it's hidden from us, we're only aware of its existence because of the world, because of the physical and spiritual world. We can infer its existence, but its existence always remains hidden to us. Hare hametzius hu levush mamash limotze. But really, in fact, the reality, the ontology of the world is like a levush. It's like a garment to its existence. Shikam ze yadu alano sheish bayi hamamsi hakol. V'niglu lano ayidei hametzius. In other words, for this reason, we infer a creator. How do we know the world was created by HaKadosh Baruch Hu? The fact is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not evident in the world. He's not imminent in the world. Chas v'sholem. We should chas over the first 16 shiurim. But we infer the existence of a creator by virtue of what exists. So in this sense, we say that the Metzius, the ontology of the world, is a garment for God. Because the garment of God merely refers to the fact that there's a creator. But the creator is forever, transcendentally, above and infinite, compared to anything in the world, which by virtue of our ability to conceptualize it, is by definition finite. So therefore, just like the Metzius, right, of either the light, or basically a shadda, so Kadosh Baruch Hu is also, right, in other words, just as the Metzius of Kadosh Baruch Hu is not revealed to us, so too this is not revealed to us either, neither the or Hagonos, the light, the first light, for the first three lights, or the Palts of Avnation L'Izyata. Okay, so in other words, so up to now, what the Goyim is saying is, it's just like anything that I can think about, I can always infer an infinity which goes beyond it, even an infinity that goes beyond the highest pounce of a vatik. Just like I can infer the existence of a God beyond any physical reality, any conceptual reality. So, what the Goyim is saying is that man has the ability, not only by contemplating and conceptualizing any concept, but has the ability to infer the existence of something beyond that concept. And that's called Ein Sof, which is expressed, which is defined in the parts of language as Reshit L'Ziyada. And this refers to the philosophical concept of the monotheistic God. Now, up to now, we're speaking ontologically. In other words, we're speaking about the existence of a power, so the existence of an infinite life, the existence of a God who creates the world. The Goyim says this ontological concept can now be understood in terms of Kadosh Baruch Hu's Rotzon, in terms of efforts. V'chein Rotzona Ein Sof. Similarly, God's infinite Rotzon. Asher l'mayla mizeh hu b'chinas Ein Sof etzleinu. God's infinite Rotzon, from our standpoint, is like the Ein Sof of creation. It's infinite. In other words, we can't even speak about it, even though, right, there is a gavul. There is a bound. Why is there a bound? Because the Ratzon ultimately is meant to be expressed, like the Goyim says. Ach etzleinu habachina rishena osed lalu lesgalis heina or hagonus b'yom harishon. Ultimately, it will be expressed. We can't speak about it. But there is a gavul, but ultimately it will be expressed. What will be expressed? It will be expressed in the Asad Lovo, in the future. But this infinite will, from our standpoint, it's infinite. This is something which is called Gonus Bayei Marishin. It was hidden away on the first day. For who? Yayin HaMishuma Banova Misheshimei Bereishis. Right? And this is, in fact, refers to the wine which was hidden in the graves of Shishmei Breishis. There, the Goyim here is quoting Gemara and Brochas that speaks about the Yayin of Meshumah. This is something that a person can never have a vision of, but only will know Liyasa Lovo in the future. Now, so what the Goyim has done now is he's just making a parallelism between the infinity, which can always be inferred beyond the physical world, and beyond, and between the infinite or the ultimate Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which in fact will be revealed in the future. That's what the Goyin has done. And says the Goyin, Ve'echal ha'naisev. Now, the question like this, interesting enough, is this light, I told you, but you didn't believe me. I told you that this light, this Ein Sof, this Reish Lo Ziyada, is not included in the first three orders. You didn't believe me. So now you're going to believe me. Why do you believe me? Because I mentioned to you that the three orders, each one is, or is Gematria 207, 3 times 207 is 621. Kasher 620. Now, I said to you that at the beginning, we're using actually the one as just being the totality. The fact is, the one is the Or HaGadol, the Ein Sof. That's what the Goyin says. You see? It's separate from the other three Ors. Ve'echad ha'naisev shebegimel Or al gematria kasher. The one, the extra one of the three Ors, which is the addition to the gematria kasher, kasher 620, the one, the 621, so this represents the klalus, right? That this is the ultimately unified ratzon hateva poshut. I refer to this as the ratzon, the klalistic ratzon, the ultimate ratzon, which will reveal the asad lovely. Okay, let's go further. Right now, we're not going deeply into what the Goyin is trying to get at by this. But it should be very apparent to you. What is the Goyin doing? Let me back up and say, what is the Goyin doing? If you think about it, what the Goyin is doing is that he's giving, in a certain sense, a certain conception of the creation of the world. In other words, Yehi Ora refers to the creation of the natural world. But the Goyin is taking the creation of the natural world and he's rephrasing it, interpreting it in the language of Paltzufim, which deal with Ratzon. So we have over here called a forging of ontology and ethics, or basically what we're taking is the ontology of Bereishis and we're translating it into ethical language, personal language. That's what the Goyin is building upon right now. What the Goyin wants me to understand is the ontology of the creation of the world can be expressed in the ethical language of the personal God of the Paltzufim and the Ratzon Hashem. That's what the Goyin is doing. He's forging this union of ontology and ethics, which is going to help us understand creation from the standpoint of the personal God and man's personal relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's what the Goyin is doing right now. Okay, now, let's go further. We are now Daf Kuf Mem Aleph on line 279. Now, says the Goyin, Vehein Klal Kol Ha'Havayis. In other words, everything we've said now about the three Ors, the Kesser, the Klolis de Galatzin of the Actus HaToiv HaPashot, the union of that which is Toiv with creation. This is in fact includes all Havayas. Okay? Now what does all Havayas mean? It means the following thing. A Kadosh Baruch Hu, right, the Kodesh Baruch Hu has four names in Kabbalah, meaning as follows. Yud Kei Vav Kei can be expressed, can be written, if I write it out and vocalize it out, in four different ways. I can say Yud Vav Dalet, K is K Yud. Vav is Vav Yud Vav. And K is K Yud. Yud, Yud Vav Dalet. K is K Yud. Vav, Vav Yud Vav. K Yud. That, if I take all those letters and add them up, that comes to Gematria Ab. Rabbi Sedley here is going to check me out. Okay, I was always bad in arithmetic.
Hey Yud, not Hey.
Hey Yud. Yud, Yud Vav Dalet is 20. K and two K's is 30. 30 and 20 is, there's 30 and 20 is 50. And Vav, Yud Vav is 22. 50 and 22 is 72. If my arithmetic doesn't fail me, I think it comes out to 72, which is called Gematria Ab. Right? Now, that's the first name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's called the Shem Ab. Now, there's a Shem Sag. Very good. When I studied mathematics at Princeton, the only numbers that I had were the numbers on the pages of the book. Now, Sag. Sag is Yud Vav Dalet, He Yud, Vav Aleph Vav. Not Vav Yud Vav, that's Ab. Vav Aleph Vav and Yud. So the difference between Yud and Aleph is 9. 72 minus 9 is 63. That's Sag.
Why is it minus 9?
Because instead of saying Vav Yud Vav, I say Vav Aleph Vav. So that's Sag. That is 63. Now, Ma. So Ma is Yud Vav Dalet, Hey Aleph, Vav Aleph Vav, Hey Aleph. And that should come to 45. Let's do arithmetic. And that should come to 45. It better. 10, and Hey, Hey twice is 12, so that's 22. And Vav Aleph Vav, right, is right? That's right. Okay, that comes to 45. That's Ma. That's Shem Ma. Ben is Yud Vav Dalet. And then KK, Vav Vav KK. And that comes to 52. So there are four names of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Now, in essence, the entire Metzius are names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I mean, the Ramban writes in the Sakhtama to the Chumash that all the Torah are permutations of names of God. But really, in Kabbalah, all of reality are really names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. These are the four basic names. It's interesting that we won't go into this in detail right now, but things we've spoken about actually occur in different names of God. Okay, it goes like this. Now,
it's not the 72 letter name of God.
No. Now, Yehi Or. Yehi Or. So, Yehi Or is Gematria. You have Yud He Yud is 25. Right? And then Or is 207. 207, 25 is Rala. 232. If you take, let's add it up. 70, Ab, Sag, Ma, and Ben. Right? Add up Ab, Sag, Ma, and Ben. Comes out to 232.
Yes.
So in other words, what we have is, Yehi Or is Gematria Ab, Sag, Ma, and Ben. And that's 232. Now, says the Gaon, Maitzi Hamayim Hanal. What is Maitzi Hamayim Hanal? So, with this, I refer to what the Gaon says in, actually what the Gaon says, actually what I think it's really what Menachem Mendel Mishklov says in Mayim Adira, is Soid, the Soid of Yehi Or, I'm quoting from the Mayim Adira, is Gematria Reish Lamed Bey, is the Dalet Shemes Begiluf, and those are the four names of God. Now, the four names of God have a total of 9 yudin. If you take the four names of God, you'll find that they're actually 9 yuds altogether, and that's Kaminyan Mayim, because Mayim is 90. In other words, 10 times every yud is 10, so 10 times 9 is 90. V'heim soy, they are soy of Moitze Hamayim. Now, what is Moitze Hamayim? If we take the gematria of Moitze Hamayim, right? In other words, what's Moitze Hamayim made up of gematria? So, Mayim is 90, and Hay is 95. I see this is not going to work. Is it going to work? Yes. Let's add it up. And Moitze is 90 and is 95 plus Tzadik is 90 and Mem is 40, it's 130. I'm sorry, 137. So, wait a minute. Moitze Hamayim is, Hamayim is 95, right?
232.
It comes out to 232. Very good. So, very good. Incredible gematria. Ab Sagma in Ben is gematria what? Reish Lamed Beis, and Maitse Amayim is ultra Reish Lamed Beis. Oh, very good. Now, we're going further. We'll see how this, everything fits in. Just make sure they check the gematrias of the Gra.
What page is Mayim Adirim?
The Mayim Adirim, in the Mayim Adirim, it's on Daf Yod Amud Gimel. Now, let's go further. Vayehi Or. In other words, Yehi Or is Reish Lamed Beis. Vayehi Or is Reish Lamed Ches, because we add 6, because the Vay, the Vav, is 6. That's Soid Rochel. Reish Ches Lamed. Now, Rochel, which is 238, we have like this. We have, says the Goy, Vayi Or is Soid Reish Ches Lamed, which is 238. And then we have 238, we have Mem Tes Koichos, 49 Koichos, and 70 Koichos. Now, 49 plus 70 is 119. Everybody with me? This only requires second grade math. Beside, as it says, this is the corresponds to the Kabbalistic concept, Vatachsereyu Ma'at Me'elokim. You made him, it's a pasuk in Tehillim, which means in Tehillim, Perek Ches, Kapitel Ches, Pasuk Vav, that man you made a little bit less than Elokim. I'll explain what this means in a little while. But Ma'at is 49. Ma'at, no, Ma'at is what? Ma'at here is 119. Ma'at is composed of Mem, Tes, and Ayin. Ma'at be'elokim. This refreshing is Hava, this situation that you made him less than Elokim, referring to man. Acha ha'geniza took place after the geniza, after all was gunners, and was left the Rishimai. And this is what it says in Mayim Adirim. The Ma'at is the Rishimai, which we've spoken about. Now, Ma'at is 119. What does that have to do with Reish Ches Lamed? Well, it's possible. 2 times 119 is 238. V'hei Beis Pa'amim. And this is 2 times beside Ha'or. The Or in the Kli. Shinis Ava Acha Geniza. The Or and the Kli were left after the Geniza. Vehein. Now why 2 times 119? Well, that's simple. How many eyes do we have? We have 2 eyes. Vehein Shnei Enayim. These 2 times 119 refer to the 2 eyes. Shnei Enayim. Shemehen Yaitzin Shnei Pa'amim. And this also refers to two times Dima. In other words, 100, Dima is Gematria 119. The tears that come out of the two tears that come out of the two eyes, one tear from every eye. Dima is Gematria 119, which is the Gematria of Ma'at, Mem Tes Koiches, and Ayin Koiches. And these, in fact, come from the two eyes. And we'll see a little what these eyes mean, but clearly what we're doing over here is we're constructing the metaphysics of Paltzufim. Let's go further.
What are the 70 Koiches?
We'll get to that, everything. We're just, all we're doing now is reading and translating. It's not even art scroll. No. It's more, well, that doesn't say much. It's art scroll. No understanding, just blindly reading and translating. Sha'ayidezeh. Through this light that comes out of the eyes, the tears. Sha'ayidezeh. Yizdache ha'kli. The kli is made more spiritual, it's purified. V'chetzes. V'cholav. And it bathes the cholov and milk. This is a pasuk in Shir HaShirim. For oyle min arachza, and comes out of the, after washing from the river, comes out ke'ede ha'rachelim, like the herd of rachelim, of sheep, Rachel. See, the goyin is in an incredible way touching up the pasuk in Shir HaShirim. V'soyin ha'cholav amuk u'ma'ay, it says the goyin, to understand cholav is very, very deep. If the goyin says amuk u'ma'ay, you can believe that it's deep. If you don't believe that it's deep, then basically you've been wasting your time for the last 16 shi'urim. And says the goyin, v'ein la'arech binyan zeh. I'm not going to expand upon this. We're not going to go into this in more detail. Ki lo ledrosh ha'kasina. I'm not coming to tell you drashas as the goyin. Interesting. Rak lamalos ratzon yedidi. So for the first time, the goyin becomes personal. Life imitates Torah. The patzifim become personal. Rak lamalos ratzon yedidi. Just to fulfill the desire of my good friend. Lichtoyach, to open things up. Kechudo shel machad, like the eye of a needle. Okay. Now, we could go further and just leave the gematrias, but because of Chilul Hashem, we can't say the Goyim was just showing us how clever he is with gematrias. There has to be some deeper underlying themes that are being spoken about. So first of all, let's summarize a little bit what the Goyim has said. Yehi Oel is the first light, the first tzivui, the first pronouncement. So, Yi'or contains the entirety of creation. That's the initial point of creation. The entirety of creation of Yi'or includes all the names of HaKadosh Baruch. All of spirituality is released at the onset of creation. All spirituality means the four names of HaKadosh Baruch, which act as the building blocks and the basic particles for all spirituality. That's Apsad Ma'an Ben. When that comes to Gematria 232. Ghalab. Now, Vayi'or is creation. Now, what does Vayi'or creation mean? Well, Vayi'or means, like the Goyim has explained in the last Klal Ches, that as soon as this creation, there's a light, there's Hispashtos. In other words, the initial Hispashtos is Yi'or. That's his pashtus. Gematria, Ralab, 232. And then it's his talkus. Some of the ore, right, is gonos. What's left is a rishima, right? This has been a theme time and time again in the Gro. What's left is the rishima. What's the rishima? So really, the rishima is vayayora. But Vayihu means the or that's left. After the or is Mistalek. That's the or in the Kli. That's the Rishimoy. Rishimoy is Gematria Vayihi or, which is Gematria Rocha. 238. Now, why should the Gematria of Vayihi or be more than the Gematria of Yihi or? That's not a kasha. We're not interested in comparing Gematrias. We're interested in Gematrias only show us equivalences, but not in a hierarchy. On the contrary, the more numbers, the more multiplicity is, means that we're actually, in other words, the less pasha things are. As things are mispasha, as they expand, they become more multiple. Now, the 238 represents the Rishimai. And what's the Rishimai? So what comes out is, the Goyim is telling us an incredible pshat in Tehillim. This is unbelievable. It was good to be from to hear this pshat in Tehillim. It says, what is man? Vatachsereyu ma'at me'lokim. You made man a ma'at from Elohim. Now what does ma'at me'lokim mean? So in a, in terms of a, in homiletics, you would say that man is a little bit less than an angel, the greatness of man. The Goyim interprets this ontologically in an incredible way. I want everybody to hear this, what the pshat of the Goyim is. The concept of Tzimtzum in the Goyim was a disengaging of God in the world. Remember, let's go back to the Goyim. The Goyim is of the opinion that the first God is at one with the creation, and then the Shvira means he disengages from creation. At the point that God is in one with the creation, that's called Elokus, that's Atzilus. Iyu, the Gameo, Chad Bahoy, he and his creations are one. That's Atzilus, that's called Elokus. Elokus is Atzilus. Bereshis Bo Elokim, when God thought to create the world, at that instant of thought, God is creation of one. It's only when he creates the world is there a disengagement between God and the world. The world becomes physical. And there's a dichotomy between the physical and the spiritual. Now, what's left from the initial Atzilus in the physical creation? It's the Rishimai. The Rishimai is what's left from the Elokus. That's the pshat in the pasuk. V'tasereyu ma'at me'elokim. What have you left by describing man? How do you describe man? He's ma'at me'elokim. The purpose of man, as the Goyim said, is to take the Rishimai, which means what was left from the initial act of creation, and to understand it conceptually, and by virtue of that, return to the wisdom of the initial act of creation. That's what Rishimai is. V'tachsereyu ma'at me'elokim means you created man in a way that man can understand and conceptualize and understand rationally the Rishimai, the ma'at from Elokim, from the world of Atzilus when God, the creation of one. That's the pshat of the pasuk. That's the pshat of the pasuk. That describes man. Man is that being who through his intellect can fathom the Rishimai, which is Ma'at of Elokim from the initial Atzilus. That's the pshat of the pasuk. Now, in fact, that Rishimai is the Vayihi Or, that's the creation. Except that what? The Ma'at is 119, Vayihi Or is Rachel 238. Why two? Why two eyes? Why mem tes koiches and ayin koiches? Well, it comes to the following thing. We've spoken about many times in the Goyim, and the Goyim spoke about this in, for example, Klal Zayin. Daf Kuf Lamed Zayin. The Goyim spoke about the Kelim and Oiris. There are two bechinas, igulum and yaisha, hashkocha klolis hashkocha protis. We devoted a whole shiur to Klal Zayin. In other words, in the Goyim, We have the general and the particular. The general and particular, klolus and pratus. As we spoke about in the Goy. In other words, that all of reality is really based upon two pillars, the klal and the prat. From the klal we understand the prat, from the prat we understand the klal. In fact, hashkocha is a process which involves hashkocha klolus, hashkocha pratus. That means the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu relates to the world, which after klal ches means the way man conceives of the world, because man determines the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu relates to the world, is through the interplay, the dialectic, between the klal and the prat. Now, we have mem tes koiches and ayin koiches. Usually we speak about mem tes shani bina. That's prat. Ayin is always klal, shivim parim and sukkas. In other words, the 119 is composed of klal and prat. But the fact is that there are two things. In other words, basically, we have two eyes. That's also connected hashkocha klolus, hashkocha pratus. Well, each one is klal and prat. We'll speak about this in a little while. But in any case, what the Goyim is coming to tell us is that when man contemplates the Rishimai, man, by constructing the intellectual edifices, the transcendental syntheses of reality, this is a process which involves a dialectic of the klal and the prat. Now, unfortunately, we're coming to an end, but I'm going to stop on this point and perhaps whet your appetite. But by understanding this basic concept, we're going to understand the entire mushel of the goyim, of the sheep, which bathe themselves in the milk, and which come out from the rochsa, the soid rochel, and the eyes, the tears are coming out of the eyes. And through this, we're going to understand perhaps what the goyim is alluding to, this very, very deep concept. Until then, from an undisclosed location, Yerushalayim, have a good week, and we hope to see you again.